Thank you, Kirsten. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you this morning. So yeah, if you missed our names, please remember it's Len and Hetty, not Hetty, Hen and Letty. Not Hen and Letty, but Len and Hetty. So yeah, thank you. It's so wonderful to be with you. I'm not a stranger to the Free State. So maybe you do not know, but I lived in this area, in Bethlehem, Eastern Free State. And we were farmers there many years ago. And actually, we lived in the Free State for most of our lives. So we know the cold of the Free State, but unfortunately, we became used to the mild temperatures in the Cape. So when we got there, we thought, listen, where's winter? There's no winter down there, but you know what? After a few years and getting older, we get cold now in the Western Cape, down at the sea in Stilbaai. Just imagine how cold will it be on Friday, 8 degrees Celsius during the day. That's incredible. I'm going to stay in bed the whole day. I will not be able to take it. Yeah, so wonderful to be with you and share a few words that I believe with my whole heart that Jesus has given me to share with you this morning. So there's a wonderful scripture in the Bible that says, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. I mean, it's just a wonderful piece. God promised in his word that he will allow us to find him. So I want to tell you a story before I go on with my preacher. I want to show you a picture of something that I found. So that's the picture of what they call it is a Nautilus papyrus. So it's not a shell. It is actually something that a very small octopus, so the biggest of that is as big as my hand. So a small octopus in the sea, actually, when the female breeds once a year, she only lives for a year. And then she only breeds for once in a lifetime. And then she structures that thing in one of her arms. She produces calcium and she builds a container. And then what she does is after she's built this thing, she laid all her eggs. She lays all her eggs in the container. And then when it gets fertilized, it hatches. All the eggs hatch in the container. And then when they're big enough, they go from there. And then she dies. That's the whole story. The whole purpose. So this is actually one of the most precious things that you can find on the beach. And everywhere this time, they only appear from April to August on the beaches installed by Jongensfontein in those places. Actually, the whole Southern Cape. And this is just one of the species. There are more species like that. But when you find it on the beach, it's like, what? Because they're so fragile, so thin. That's why they're called Nautilus papyrus. It's like thin paper. The moment you press it too hard, it just falls to pieces. That's all. It's a fragile, it's not a shell. It's just a structure that she has built. And what you get is, to find these beautiful objects, you need to go early in the morning before all the other people went there to go and have a look themselves. So you need to go early. That's one of the things. Even when it's cold in the winter, you need to go on the beaches and you have to go and look for them. And then you're absolutely fortunate if you find one. And if you find one that's actually not broken, because what the birds do, the seagulls, they actually break it open to see if there's something inside that they can eat. So now you understand how precious it is. And I was so fortunate. This year I found 9 of them. 9. But believe me, it cost me kilometers and kilometers walking on the beaches with my dog. And sometimes it's just you go for 5-6 kilometers on the beaches. You go to places where people don't normally go. And then you find it because they people don't want to do too much trouble to go and find them. And then you find this. And when you find it, it's like you can't believe it's whole and it's not broken. And it's so beautiful. It's so fragile that you put it in your hand. You can't put it in your pocket. You can't put it in a bag or something. You need to carry it like this. And you need to go all the way back, all the kilometers that you've walked, with this thing in your hand, and you need to care for it and bring it back home and put it on the shelf and just adore the beauty of it. It's beautiful, isn't it? So that's how it is. You know, we're getting older, Hetty and I. Thank you for the picture. So Hetty and I, we are getting older. So what happens when people get older, I believe so, is that you become to appreciate, I would say, the beautiful things more in life. The costly things. Things like grandchildren. And meals with the family and holidays with the family. You've come to see life in a different way. When you're 70 plus, you've come to appreciate life in a different way. Because we're not so functional anymore. So we look at life differently, and we appreciate it when we find something like that, or we appreciate it when the kids come and visit us and we have family time. And we appreciate it to be with you guys this morning, and I'm not here to actually function in any way. I'm just here to share something on my heart. That's wonderful. Just to friendships. We need to appreciate friendships, and just visiting people is so wonderful. And it's not like it's only for older people, but I mean, you've come to a place where you're not so busy anymore. You're not so functional anymore. You're not so driven anymore. So you've come to appreciate the stuff that you actually missed when you were younger. I've come to appreciate Jesus more. Because he's more precious than that. He's more precious than that. So The message this morning, I call it, is Jesus enough? Is he still enough for you? That's my message. So for me, you know, that's a question that I need to answer in my life from day to day. Is Jesus enough for me? Have I found Jesus seeking for him with my whole heart? It's like, you know, sometimes what the Lord says, You need to separate yourself into this wonderful journey walking with Jesus and finding him, not just finding religion or church life or whatever, but finding him. And when you find him, you will know that you know something has happened with you. So in short, this is my testimony. Like, I was a farmer in the Free State, and at that stage I didn't know the Lord at all. So I actually tried three things in my life to see if I can find peace in my heart. The first thing was being a farmer. So I just spent my life being a farmer. I was devoted to farming. I worked hard, and I produced a lot of crops in the fields out there, and I had cattle and sheep and everything in rates in the Eastern Free State. And it was very lekker. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But you know what? Sometime During this journey, I sat next to the tractors in the field, and I was thinking to myself, working hard even during night hours, and I was thinking to myself, so this is what life is all about. Producing grain and cattle and sheep as a farmer. So that's the whole purpose that I'm here for. And I was questioning it. You know, I wasn't unhappy at all, but I was questioning, and I believe that why it happened with me is that because God has put this question in my heart. Then, do you find fulfillment in this? And I was questioning, I didn't have an answer to myself, you know. I was just thinking, you know, this is the same rotation every year. You come to a place where you harvest, after you harvest, you work the fields, and after that you plant again, and then you wait for the rain to come, and then the crops grow, and then you harvest again year after year after year. I did it for 20 years. So not just 2 years, for 20 years. And I enjoyed it. And being a farmer is a wonderful thing, but if you don't see the purpose to it, it can be just monotonous thing that you get tired of it. So I didn't find purpose in it. I was devoted to my farming and I was a good farmer, but it didn't give me peace of my heart. Then I tried something else. So then I tried giving myself to playing golf. And I thought, I'm going to find something there. So I wasn't far from town, about 10 kilometers from town. So after I stopped playing rugby, I started to play golf. Golf on Wednesdays, golf on Saturdays. I practiced on Fridays, and some Sundays I played league. So I was into the world of golf. I wasn't a professional, I was just an amateur. But you know, the whole golf world, all the boykies at the pub on the 19th hole and everything, I gave myself to it. And that became my life. I was so devoted to it. If there was anything in the climate or anything that stopped me from playing golf on the Wednesday, I was sick. It's like, ach nee man, I want to play golf today, you know. So it was like it became my whole life. And actually, part of my testimony is that God had to save me from the golf world. Because those who were the people who listened to me when we had a few drinks around the pub, they actually listened to all my troubles and challenges that I have on the farm. They actually listened to me. Hetty didn't listen to me. She was always said met my geraas, always. So I find a wonderful group of people in the golf club. God had to save me from that. So before he saved me from the golf club, I thought to myself, let me try another thing also to see if I can find peace. You know what I did? I was devoted to church life completely. I gave myself to church life. I was like a deacon. I was an elder. I was part of the youth ministry. Or what did we call it? Jong getroudes, so iets. Young marriage couple, whatever. So I was really devoted. And I went to church every Sunday morning. And I thought, in a way, this will actually bring that thing that I'm looking for. Fulfillment in my life. And I couldn't find it there. I couldn't find it in church. I couldn't find it in the golf course. I couldn't find it being a farmer. So, keeping it short, during that season of my life, that's many years ago, that's 33 years ago, I went to a small church in Rates. They called them the Happy Clappies. We called them the Crocodile Church. Because if they get you, they draw you to the water and they baptize you. So there was the turning point in my life. I met Jesus that morning. I even didn't know it, you know. I just went to the church and I said, I know I have to go to this church. I wasn't prepared for anything. I just want to go visit and have a look. It's what like I like to be an informant and go back and tell the people that's what they actually do. So I was a spy in a sense. I went there and I wanted to see what's going on. But God had an appointment with my life. And I met Jesus. So from that moment on, I want you to listen this morning. That's what happened to me. If it can happen to me as a farmer, a boer, wat aan die Vrystaat geboer het, it can happen to anyone else. I found peace in my heart. And Jesus was enough. And Jesus is still enough. And this is the message this morning is, after all these years, you can have a day in your life where you find Jesus. You find him. Like you find that precious object, that what you call it, shell or whatever. When you find it, you just know that you know that you know. Something, I found something precious. And you know what? The storm and the emptiness in your life will be filled up with him completely. With him. Not knowing of him. Not hearing of him. Not even preaching or whatever, but with him as a person. When he comes and fills your life, he is enough. So the challenge this morning, listen, I know we live in a time. People, they not get satisfied so easily because we live in a busy time. We've got the cell phones or the slim phones or what, the clever phones. Not slim phones, the clever phones with us and whatever. You've got everything that you need. You got information, you're connected to the world out there. So it's not so easy to get people satisfied. Even in church anymore, some churches, what they do is entertain people to get them satisfied. But let me tell you this morning, nothing, even in this world, not Facebook, not Twitter, not whatever, nothing can fill that void that's in your heart. And only an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus will get you to that place. So I'm questioning you this morning as a brother. Or maybe you have never met Jesus for the first time in your life. I'm questioning you this morning. Is Jesus still enough for you in your life? Not just doing Bible study in the morning and a prayer time and a quiet time. I mean, that's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is, do you really know Him? Do you really have an intimate walk with the Lord? So that's just my introduction this morning. Let's go to a scripture. Is that a good? Are you with me? So if I'm too long, please just go like this, Kurtzen. Then I know I need to stop. Okay. So I'm just again, deep down, all of us have a void that can only be filled by Jesus Himself. I wrote it down because I believe it with my whole heart. I'm absolutely convinced of this. We were made to glorify God, and we can only do it by His indwelling presence. And nothing can fill that void in us. Not religion, money, sport, hobbies, power, culture, my own personal convictions, nothing. That's what Paul meant when he said, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted lost for Christ. So let's read Philippians 3, 7 to 11. Are we there? Yeah. Okay. I'm in the New King James, just because this is my Bible for many years. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Wat vir my wins was, het ek bereid gewees om te verloor. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now listen, all things in the Bible means, Temba, it's not so difficult, it's not complex, it means all things. And count them as rubbish. He was, if you know the life of Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was a religious person. He was a well-known teacher of the law and of the Bible. He was a well-known man in the nation of Israel. And he said that everything that he had, everything that he did, he counted it all as rubbish. So that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Gain Christ. If you look for the Lord with your whole heart, you will find Him. So that I can gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him. That's the reason, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of from the dead. It's a wonderful scripture. But the focus this morning is this. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ, so that I can gain Christ and be found in Him. Is Jesus, do you think this morning, church, that Jesus was enough for Paul? He was enough. Everything that he did, he counted as rubbish. So that's what it actually meant in my life. There was a time that I realized it's lacquer to play golf, but actually it's rubbish. Especially the way that I'm playing now. It's rubbish. It's wonderful to be a farmer, but if you don't find the purpose and you don't see the purpose in it, it's rubbish. Hello? I'm not saying it's wrong. Listen, don't. Hear what I'm not saying, okay? You can go to church. You can be part of church life. You can go to the community every Wednesday. You can be part of this wonderful church in Bloemfontein. And you can be devoted to this church. You can be in ministry. You can do kids' church. And I'm telling you this morning, you can miss Jesus completely. It's possible. Because you will not find Him in ministry. You do ministry because you have found Jesus. But you will not find him in church the way that you think you're going to find him. Because when we leave here, Jesus is leaving as well. He's not staying alone in this place, this cold place. He's living with you. Okay? He's living inside of you by his spirit, by faith. He dwells inside of me. That's what's so wonderful. So why should Jesus be enough? I've asked a few questions. Because he fills the emptiness of our souls and hearts. That's what I said. And then, because Jesus is our salvation and our righteousness. A wonderful scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:30-31 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I've put it the verse in the Amplified. I know that we don't use the Amplified so much anymore, but listen how beautiful it is. But it is from him that you have your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom from God, revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation, previously hidden, manifesting itself as our righteousness, and thus making us upright and putting us in right standing with God, and our consecration, making us pure and holy, and our redemption. God made Jesus our wisdom. He made him our righteousness, he made him our consecration, and he made him our redemption, providing our ransom from eternal penalty for sin. That's why Jesus is enough to get saved. Jesus, we need him because he's enough. Enough. It's the lie of religion that we live in nowadays is that you need to produce or you need to perform. You need to be actively. You do it. You want to do it. But I mean, those things are not the reason that you are saved. He is enough. Jesus is enough. Amen. So why is Jesus enough? What's another reason? Because nothing can even be compared with having a relationship with him. As his children, we were called with a highest calling to have an intimate relationship with him. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. You are called into the fellowship of his Son. Every one of us. Even when you were unsaved, you had a calling as a human being. God made us into his image and his likeness. It's like God wanting to have kids so that he can have a relationship with them. That's what the scripture actually says. So every one of us, even before you decided to follow Jesus, you have a calling on your life. And that calling is to have fellowship with the God Almighty. To have fellowship with Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's your main purpose. That's your calling. To have an intimate relationship with the Lord. You cannot escape it. You were made into his image. Every human being. Everyone that you see, Chinese, yeah, even the Chinese, even the Buddha, even any culture you can think of on this earth were created into God's image. So just look at someone next to you and say, that's a miracle when I look at you. You were made. Yes, Temba. Temba, come here. Just look at how we differ. We differ so much, I mean. But we're actually just the same. Yeah. We were made into the image of God. We've got, you see what's so wonderful, thanks, Timo. What's so wonderful is that inside of us, God created the ability and the capacity to know him, the creator of the universe. Is he enough? He's enough. If you find him, come on, there's nothing else that matters. No one else that matters. But you will know that you know this morning if you really have found Jesus as your God and your Savior. You will know it. You will know his voice. You will know that you have intimacy with him. Or you will know this morning, and that's why you're here this morning, you will know that if you don't have him as your treasure in your heart. And that's why we're here. Is to give you the opportunity to come to a place, because Jesus, he invites us to come to him. It's not like you have to perform. Come just the way, come just the way as you are to Jesus. You don't have to put down your sins. You come as you are. And then Jesus will accept you. That's so wonderful. And you will find peace, man. You will just know that you know. When you're getting older, you're not so functioning anymore like Etty and I. We have peace. We talk about this. On our way here, 1,000+ kilometers, we talk about this stuff, you know. And we come to realize it's a wonderful, wonderful experience getting older and to know that we have that treasure in our hearts. Even if we die in 5-6 years' time from now, it will just be a transition to our next life because we have found the treasure, and that treasure is Jesus himself. He's in our hearts. Nothing can compare with that. Nothing. And because we have found him, we love what he loves, and he loves his church. You cannot have Jesus just for yourself and not the church. Because when he comes to you, he comes to you with his church. And he wants you to be part of a church. So, mense wat sê, ek sê hier nie maar net in die Afrikaans vir 'n rede, mense wat sê, ek is alright met Jesus, ek het nie die kerk nodig nie. Daar's baie van daai mense wat deesdae nog dit uitspreek en sê, ek het nie die kerk nodig nie, ek het net, Jesus is genoeg vir my. It's not true. Jesus is not, he's not part of you without being, bring his church with him. Does it make sense? Yeah, wonderful. Is he enough? Yes, he's enough. Actually, he isn't enough. He is more than enough. Yeah. Amen. If we receive Jesus as being enough to meet all our needs, we must be willing also to receive all that he loves. Like we said, he loves his church. But you know, he loves the poor. He loves the sick. And he loves the lost, the sinners. That's why we do outreaches, because Jesus loves the sinners. So if you really find Jesus, is he enough? He's enough. But then you also need to be someone who loves the sinners. We love, is Jesus enough? Yes, because of Jesus' resurrection power, we can also live in a victory over sin and death. This is a crucial point. I want you to just for a few moments really focus on this. Romans 6:5-7 says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." Is Jesus enough? For sure. 6:11, Romans 6:11 says, "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So for many years I battled with this. I'm not good enough for God. I battled with it. Even after I was born again and walked with God, I often found myself in a place where when I came to God, I said to myself, and I actually said it to the Lord, "Lord, I'm not good enough for this. I'm really not good enough because I know what I do, what is called sin." Maybe you sit here this morning and you've got the same thought, you know. Maybe when I'm not so sinful anymore, maybe when I stop watching pornography, maybe when I stop doing drugs, maybe when I stop this or I stop that, then I will be good enough for God. So that is a lie of the enemy. Because Jesus died for your sins. And he said, "Reckon yourself dead to sin." That's wonderful. That verse again, I want to read it to you in Romans 6, verse 11. "Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So one day, when I was reading this, in Afrikaans say, "Reckon yourself dood vir die sonde en lewend tot God in Christus Jesus." And ek het dit, daar was iemand wat my gehelp het om dit reg te verstaan. I needed a revelation, Lord, regarding this. And I found one in my heart. I reckon myself dead to sin. What it actually means, I have no relationship anymore with sin. And sin has no power over my life anymore. That's what it says. Does it mean that I don't sin anymore? No. Sometimes I do sin. But I can praat ek met Etty soos wat ek nie moet nie. Ja. It happens. Sometimes I'm just not spiritful enough. Then I sin. But that does not mean that I'm under the power of sin. I'm now under the power of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, I can just repent before the Lord and I can confess this word. Lord, thank you that I'm dead to sin, but alive to God. I've got a relationship with God. And I'm not good enough because of what I do or I didn't do. I'm good enough because of what Jesus did. He is enough. Therefore, the power of sin has been broken over my life. I can say no. I can step away from my old identity because that is who Len was. And I can just clothe myself with the salvation and the righteousness of God. It does make a difference. Listen to me this morning. If you're into religious stuff, you won't understand this. But if you're into the Spirit and you understand that by the Spirit you're born again, and actually you're dead to sin, you're alive to God, then it does make sense. When you come to Jesus, when you come closer to Jesus, what you actually do is thanking Him that you are actually hidden in Christ. And the Afrikaans also is verborge in Christus. You are actually hidden in Christ. So for me, I'm just a boer. So I think plainly what it actually means is when God the Father looks at me, when I come to Him, He actually sees me how? He actually sees me hidden in Christ because of my faith and because of His grace on the cross. So when I come to Him, I don't come to Him as a armsalige sondaar. I come to Him because I'm a child of God. We're going to do communion just now. And I'm going to explain to you what the blood of Jesus actually did to us, for us, and to us. So that when we come with boldness before the Father. And then we understand. You see, if you don't believe Jesus is enough, actually, what you actually do is you sin. If you don't believe that is enough. If you want to add anything to it, we cannot add anything to what Jesus did on the cross. Nothing. So if you don't actually believe it, if you don't confess it, if you don't live it, you're actually missing the whole point. See, sin is not something that you actually do. You're just missing the mark. That's what it is. You're missing the truth. You're missing the whole point that He's enough. So it changed my whole life completely. I mean, I still battle with my flesh. Come on, ons is allemaal net. Ons is allemaal net mans. En vrouens, sorry. I still battle with my flesh. It will be different when we're in heaven. Fortunately. Gracefully, it will be different. I will not battle with my flesh anymore. But you know what? I've got a new identity. And I live from my new identity. I think from my new identity. I pray from my new identity. I build relationships from my new identity. Because He's enough. Not because I'm good. Because He's enough. So have you found that place in your life? Sitting here this morning. Have you found Jesus? Did you really come to Him in the manner that I tried to explain this morning, and confess just before Him, Lord, I need You. I really need You. I need You to change my life. I need You to come fill up this void inside of me. I need You to bring peace. I need Your forgiveness. I need Your wisdom and Your righteousness to cleanse me, to bring me in a place where I can live free, free from my thoughts. And did You really come to that place? Why don't you just close your eyes this morning? I want to give an opportunity for anyone that's here this morning who in this moment want to make a decision for the Lord. If you want to this morning come to Jesus and ask Him, Lord, come and fill my heart. I want Your peace. I want You to know You as my personal Savior.